Thanks for joining us on the Port City Church podcast. More information about Port City Church is available at portcitychurch.org.
What's up, Port City Community Church? You guys doing good today? Yeah? Awesome, cool. Hey, my name is Clay Everett, as my wife so eloquently introduced me earlier today. I do have the incredible job of getting to lead the college students here at our church. We got any college students in the house? Awesome. Cool. Yeah, my people. I am used to kind of talking to college students like one time maybe on a week. I'm not used to talking to the church three times on a Sunday. So if I forget everything I said at 9 o'clock, I'm sorry. Okay. Will you guys still love me? All right. Cool. So I know that some of you guys probably woke up today and you were wondering, is this going to be a good day? Do y'all do that? Like I do that. I wake up, I'm like, is this going to be a good day or not? And then you came to church and you experienced that worship we just got to worship with and the baptism story we got to hear. And you're like, this is a good day, right? And then you're like, well, but Mike's not here. I don't know. I mean, really, like, maybe not. Let me just kind of reassure you guys. Today's going to be good because today I am not talking about money. Okay? I'm not talking about stewardship. I'm not talking about contentment. I'm not talking about tracking every penny. I'm not talking about that day. So it's going to be good. In addition to that, I make a commitment to you that I will not sing any 80s music today. Is that cool? Because I know Mike has to bring in an 80s song every Sunday. College students and younger, you can thank me later. No 80s music today. But ironically enough, the title of my message today is We Are Family. If you're taking notes, the title of my message today is We Are Family. We are family, right? I know that there was a song. I know that there was a song written back in the, I think, 79, right? That we are family, you know, got all my sisters with me. But I'm not singing that at all. I'm not going to sing that. But I do want to talk about this idea of family. And I just got to wonder in a room this size, like how many of us had come from a crazy family? Right? Yes. All right. And then for the rest of us, this is my assumption. My one assumption for my message today is this, is that we all have some crazy in our family. We all have some crazy in our family, right? Mike says that we're all crazy, right? And we don't have to pretend any otherwise. So if we're all crazy, then our families are just full of crazy people. We've all got some crazy in our family. And I bet that you can picture that crazy right now in your head. And if you can't picture that crazy in your head, it might be because you bring the crazy to your family, right? And that's good. Like, no judgment here. I have a crazy family. I love my family. I have an incredible wife. Y'all met her earlier. I have two really cool, crazy kids, two daughters. I have a sister and her family. And I have a mom and a dad who I love dearly who live up the road in Raleigh. But they were both from Eastern North Carolina. And if you guys don't know this, you are in Eastern North Carolina right now. And Eastern North Carolina is like a thing, right? There's context to that, right? So I've got this big, crazy family, and we do a family reunion every year. Do you guys do that? Get all your family together, bunch of people you don't know, and you gotta like, wait, who is that again? Right? And we do that. Our family reunion is the Saturday, it's the first Saturday after Labor Day. First Saturday after Labor Day, so there's no excuses, what they always say. No excuses. You knew when it was. You got to come. And I do pretty much go every year. We have, tons of family, tons of food, right? Like fried chicken, barbecue, mashed potatoes, collard greens. It's so good, right? Desserts, tea, sweet tea. If you want to drink anything, you got to drink sweet tea because that's what we drink in Eastern North Carolina. My family's kind of crazy. We actually have a family motto, a family saying. I don't know exactly what it is, but here it is. So this is my mom's side of the family. We're the Howards. Howards from Pink Hill. Pink Hill is a real place. And we have this motto, and our motto is this. Someone will say, if you weren't a Howard, what would you be? If you weren't a Howard, what would you be? And everybody answers, ashamed, right? If you weren't a Howard, you would be ashamed, right? But luckily, I'm a Howard, so I'm not ashamed, right? So we've got this crazy, like, family saying. We also have a family song, believe it or not. And because we're from Eastern North Carolina, it's a country song. And it's actually, like, really, really good. One of my cousins wrote it, and I love it. I cry every time I hear it. It's so beautiful. My family, I love them. We got some crazy in my family, and I bet you guys have got some crazy in your family. Here's the thing about family is even if they are crazy, they're still your family, right? Like even if your family is difficult to deal with, they're still your family. Family unites people unlike any organization or association or relationship on this planet, right? And if we were to get real, like we hear stories like what we just heard, and for some of us, probably for a lot of us, we actually have some real difficult issues in our family. And so I'm not trying to make light of that. Like, I get it. Like, family can be difficult. And maybe when I say family, it brings up some bad memories in your head or some tough spots. But here's the thing is that your family is still your family. And there is something so special and so unique and so uniting about family. And then we come to the Bible. And we find throughout this book these stories and language and imagery of family, right? It talks about things like brotherly affection or brotherly love. I love that. You know what that means? Is that you love your sibling, your brother or your sister, no matter how badly they treat you, right? Like I grew up with an older sister and she was mean to me, right? But brotherly affection means, well, I'm gonna love them anyways because of who they are, right? The Bible talks about this language of God as our father. Our father. The Old Testament is full of languages, God as our father. And then Jesus in the Gospels talks about God as his father and God as our father. So this is language, this imagery all throughout scripture of family. And then we come to the text I want to kind of focus in on today. And that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Ephesus. And he uses this imagery of family to communicate one of the most profound and powerful ideas that you will ever hear. And this is what Paul writes. He tells us this truth that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure to do that. God decided to do what? To adopt us into his family. Of all the things you're gonna hear in your lifetime, that's gotta be like top of the list. Just think about the God, holy, perfect, sovereign, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of all things, so high above us would want you and I in his family. That he would want that. That's an incredible truth. It's an incredible truth for us to process and think about. Maybe for you in the room, this imagery of adoption kind of falls a little flat because you don't really get adoption. But if you get adoption, this imagery holds power and weight, right? The honest truth is I didn't really get adoption for a long time in my life. I didn't really understand the implications of that until one day my sister and her husband, my sister who used to give me a hard time and annoy me at all costs, until my sister and husband decided to do one of the most loving things I've ever witnessed before in my life. My sister Jen and her husband Jay, they spent years preparing and sacrificed countless time and effort and resources to one day travel for 30 some hours on an airplane halfway across the world to fly into this little town in the country of Kazakhstan to adopt two little girls. They had to travel to Kazakhstan not 1 30-hour flight both ways, but twice, 2 30-hour flights both ways. To get them, they had to spend like several weeks in the town just waiting desperately to be able to call these two little girls their own. And if you don't really know about international adoption, some of you have probably done that and you get it. The thing with international adoption is that you have to like complete like towers of paperwork, like booklet after booklet, folder after folder of paperwork. You have to pass background, you know, screenings and medical exams and like these super intense, like super like crazy interviews, all to simply be approved for adoption. Right, and then once you get approved to adopt, once they finally say, okay, yeah, you qualify, you can adopt someone, then you simply wait. And I don't know, that's gotta probably be the hardest part. You just simply wait to get a phone call one day for them to say, we have a child for you. And the two girls that my sister adopted were twins, and so they needed to be adopted together. And this organization that my sister had gone through had already called a couple of potential parents to say, hey, we've got these two girls that need to be adopted. And these potential parents, they said no, because they weren't counting on two. Like, anybody who's a parent in the room, you know one is hard, right? Two is like a plenty. But I think by God's grace and just his preparation, when my sister and her husband got that phone call and they said, surprise, we got twins for you. They said yes. They said yes. And y'all, I will never forget that night that my nieces came home from Kazakhstan. And I was in the airport and they came in and I was crying and I'm gonna cry right now. But it was just beautiful. And it wasn't just because they were beautiful, although they were. It was because that moment was beautiful. Like me, like seeing my sister, the act of love that her and her husband did, it was overwhelming. It was incredible. And as soon as my nieces were old enough to hear it, my sister and her husband Jay would tell them that they were adopted. They would tell them that they were adopted. Not to make them feel like less of themselves, not to make them feel like they were like second-class citizens in their family. No, they would tell them adopted because they wanted them to know just how much they loved them. They wanted those girls to know what great lengths they went and what great sacrifice they went in order to make them a part of their family. Because that's powerful. They would explain that most families, they don't get to decide who their kids are. Like, I didn't get to decide my kids. They just kind of popped out, right? You don't decide, but they got to decide. And they decided that they wanted Ava and Claire as their daughters. They wanted them to know just how much they were loved. They wanted them to know that they belonged. And here's the deal. My sister's story with her daughters is not that much different from God's story with us. You see, I think we were much like orphans. We were very much like orphans in need of adoption. From the very beginning of creation, from the very beginning of the Bible, it tells us that God created us to live in this intimate relationship with him, to be known by God and to know God, to be in this close family relationship with God. And yet it tells us, the Bible tells us, that our sin broke that perfect relationship. That sin separates us from God. That by effect, sin makes us fatherless and alone. But God, Ephesians 2 says that. It's the most beautiful two-word phrase in all the Bible. But God, in his love, he came after us. He didn't leave us as orphans. He decided that he would come and that he would adopt us. He decided that he would pay any price and make any sacrifice to make us a part of his family again. And that price that had to be paid was paid on the cross by Jesus. It was paid on the cross by Jesus. And we get to receive this free gift of salvation, right? By grace extended by God, received by faith, by simply believing and trusting and relying on it to be true for us. That's the gospel message, Port City. And if you like adoption, you gotta love the gospel message, because the gospel message is an adoption story. I want you to get that the gospel message, the message of what God did for us to come and get us, it is an adoption story. Dennis quoted it earlier. 1 John says this. It says, it invites us to come and see the great love that our Father has lavished on us, that we would be called children of God. And it says, and so you are. And for those of us in the room today that are kind of emotionally connected human beings, we hear that God has lavished his love on us, and that's enough. Like, that's yes, thank you. And for those of us who maybe aren't quite as emotionally connected, some of us men in the room, right? The fact that God has lavished his love on us, that means he paid a price. It means he made a sacrifice. I mean, he came for you in order to be able to call you a child, to call you a child. There's two implications of this incredible truth that we've been adopted into God's family. And the first implication is this. It's because you were adopted by God, you now belong to God. Because you were adopted into God's family, you now belong to God. You now have a place to call home. You have a father to belong to. Port City, because of what God did for you, you are God's, right? We talked this last series of all of our stuff and our money are God's. But it's not just that, it's that you are God's. You have a father to call on. He is yours and you are his. He is your father and you are his child. And that's such great news. And I love that. And I hope that you love that. I hope that you cherish that truth in your own life. There's a second implication of this truth that God has adopted us into his family. And this one gets a little bit, maybe we're not quite as comfortable with this implication. It's found throughout really all of the New Testament. I want to focus in on Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And Romans is another letter written by Paul to another church. This time it's the church in Rome. And the church in Rome was a little different than most of the churches that Paul would write to, like the church in Ephesus, the church in Galatia. It's a little different because this church in Rome just kind of popped out of nowhere, right? Like the other churches Paul had helped to start, like Mike and Chris had helped start this church. The church in Rome just kind of happened, right? And I think they probably had some leadership issues because of that. Right? Like no one told them who's like the leader. So I'm sure there's all kinds of issues with that. This church in Rome also had a bunch of people who were from a Jewish background and a bunch of people from a non-Jewish background, all trying to live the Christian life together. That perspective difference is huge if you didn't know that. The bottom line is that Paul is writing to a group of Christians, a church that was a little bit messy, right? That was a little bit messy. And this is what Paul wrote in that context. He wrote this. He said, just as our bodies, our physical bodies, have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, or the church, or the family of God. We are many parts of one body, or one family. And he says this, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. So the second implication here that we got to wrestle with today is this, that because we belong to God, now we also belong to each other. Because we belong to God, now we belong to each other. Because God adopted us into his family, we now belong to each other. And in Romans, Paul is using this analogy of the human body, right? The physical body. And he's saying we have all these different parts, right? We have arms and legs and hands and feet, right? Different body parts. But we all work together. So if I need to reach up and grab something, I have to use my hand, but my hand needs my arm needs my torso, is that what that's called? And my torso needs my legs need my feet to reach up to grab that thing. We're different parts. We all have a special function, but we belong to each other. We need each other. We are dependent on each other. And if we bring this back to the family analogy, it kind of goes like this, is that if you're a child of God, and you're a child of God, and you're a child of God, and I'm a child of God, it means that we are family. It means that we are family. If God is your father and God is my father, then we are family with each other. And I got to tell you this because I think a lot of us want to come into a church like this and just hope that it's perfect, right? But I think we would look around a room like this and go, okay, we're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But we have a purpose. What God is saying is that we have a purpose together, this family. We have a purpose, and each one of us has a part to play in it. And so I know some of you guys woke up this morning, and you thought you had a relatively small family. You thought you had a relatively tame family, and now what I'm telling you is look around. You have a very large family that you belong to. And this family is a little bit messier and probably a little crazy, and that is okay. Because we're not perfect, but guess what? Our Father is perfect. And he has a purpose for us, and each of us have a part to play in this. And I don't care how young you are, or how older you are, or how middle you are, each of you has a part to play in this family. I don't know if you guys know this, but in this room right now, we have middle school students. Did y'all know that? There are middle school students in this room right now? If you're a middle school student right now, I want you to be really brave and raise your hand up real high. Middle school students, yes. Oh man, lots of them. Okay, y'all, let's clap for the middle school students, right? they don't know this, but I'm gonna let them in on a little secret. They are in like the three hardest years of their life right now. Can y'all agree with me? Middle school is like no joke, right? It all gets easier after middle school, I promise, okay? In this room right now, we have high school students. Where are my high school students? Yes, let's go. Y'all are so confident. Yes. And these high school students are just trying to figure out who they are, right? Aren't you? You're just trying to figure out, who am I? That's a big question to answer in 4 years, right? They need some help, right? In this room right now, we have college students. We're the college students. One more time. Yeah. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life. That's a huge question to answer in 4 years, especially when you change your major 3 times. It's like they're coming out of college just like hoping for a job. Please, somebody, hire me. Some of y'all need to hire some people. There are some people you can hire. You're welcome. In this room right now, we have some young adults. If you would identify yourself as a young adult, I want you to raise your hand. I want to see who you are. Yeah, some of you are like young at heart. Some of you are young at heart. Some of you really are young adults. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to figure out what adulting is. Did y'all know that's like a verb? Adulting, right? It's like doing adult-like things, right? Young adults, they're in this kind of transition, right? They don't necessarily want to consider themselves an adult, but they have to go and pay bills. They have to adult, right? That's a huge transition. I remember it was really hard for me moving from college into the adult life, the real world. Like, what does that even look like, right? In this room right now, we have young parents who are in the first phase of parenthood. And let me just tell you, they are overwhelmed, right? They're drowning. And they are so thankful for Grow Zone right now, right? Amen? Yes. I can remember sitting in service crying on a Sunday because I was so thankful that my kids were in Grow Zone for an hour. I was like, God, this is awesome. Thank you. We've got adults in the room right now who have figured out a few things in life, right? Not everything. You figure out a few things in life, and you're starting to ask yourself, well, what's next? Like, what's next for me? What's next for my life? In a room, this room right now, we have, I hope, some adults who have been there and done that and learned a thing or two and have a lot of stuff figured out and are just waiting for someone to ask them what they learned, right? Guys, we are a room of people all across the board, young, older, in the middle, and we all have specific needs. We need some help, right? And we're all in this room, and we all have something to offer. Each and every one of you has something to offer to the others. And so in this room, I wanted you to see who is who. I want you to realize that there are young kids in this room that just need a handshake and a high five. Like, hang in there in middle school, right? And we have adults in the whole other spectrum who have learned so much, have so much to offer. If someone would just ask them about it. Port City, this family that we get to be a part of, it's large, I get that. It's a little bit messy, and we might be a little bit crazy. But God has a purpose for us, and you have a part to play in the family. And so what do we do with this? How do we apply this to our lives? I got three points of application. I'll share those. We'll pray and get out of here to lunch. First point of application is this. Number one, we need to think of each other as family. We have got to start thinking of each other as family. We have got to change the way we think about Sundays. We've got to change the way we think about church. If more than anything, I hope today just is a perspective change for us, right? And here's the thing is, I get this, y'all. We live in a very individualistic culture. Do y'all know that? America, individualism is praised, is honored, it's been taught. We, as Americans, tend to think of things in terms of self, in terms of me, in terms of I. And I'm not saying you're selfish people. I'm just saying we've been taught, we learn to think about things in terms of self, not necessarily in terms of the rest of us. And so we've got to start to change the way we think. The way we think about coming to church on Sunday. Listen, I get it. I am an introvert. You might find that hard to believe, but I like being up here because I'm all by myself up here. Like, y'all are all, you're in the crowd. I can leave if I need to. And y'all, there are lots of Sundays when I could just be very comfortable sitting on my sofa at home watching sports, right? Like I missed my favorite soccer team playing this morning. Like I could have easily been there watching that. That'd have been awesome, right? But that attitude is me thinking about me. It's thinking about what do I want to do today? Or when I come to church, oftentimes I think about what am I gonna get? What can I learn? What do I need? But what if we changed our thinking to think about what do other people need? Number two, if we're gonna apply this to our lives, we need to look out for each other as family. We gotta start looking out for each other as family. Today you saw the different people who are in your family. Y'all, we gotta look out for each other. One of the things I mean by this is we gotta look out for each other. We gotta think about how can I invest in and be a part of and pour into my family. We gotta look out for that. What does it look like for me to be more engaged in this family at Port City Community Church? For some of us, it's just thinking about what are some spots? Where do I go? What do I have to offer? We gotta start thinking and looking out for each other as family. And lastly, and kind of most importantly, if we're gonna apply this, we must begin to show up for each other as family. We must begin to show up for each other as family. From what I've learned and seen and grown in as a son and a brother, a husband, an uncle, a father, it's this idea about family, that family shows up for family. You guys know this, family shows up for family. When someone in your family is in need of help, you go and you help them. When someone in your family experiences a victory, you go and you celebrate with them. Right? When someone in your family, when your brother or your sister is hurting, sometimes you just go and you just hurt with them. You mourn with them. You rejoice with them. Family shows up for family, even when it's not easy, even when it's messy, even when they're crazy. They show up for each other. And so I want to ask you here today is what does it look like for you and I to show up for this family? This is a question I've been asking myself these past couple weeks. To be very honest, this message is speaking to me as much as I am trying to speak it to you, is what does it look like for me to show up for my family? And I think it's a little bit of a vague statement, show up, and I want it to be a little bit vague because it looks different for each of us. So what does it look like for you to show up for your family? Some of you here today, maybe you're not sure about your part in the family of God. Maybe you're not sure about your relationship with God. I would encourage you this week to think about and to consider how God showed up for you. Would you do that? Would you just think about, what if that's true? What if the gospel message really is an adoption story and God came after me? What if he paid a great price and went a huge distance and made a great sacrifice to bring me back, to make a way for me to be in relationship with him, to be part of his family? What if that were true? I'd love for you to just consider that. Or maybe for some of us, this idea of showing up just looks like literally showing up to church on Sunday, right? Like I know you're here today, like you're here and I'm just preaching to the choir, right? But what about next Sunday? Like maybe for you, it's just committing to show up consistently. And when you do that, it's that you're not showing up for you, it's that you're showing up for us. You're showing up to be a part of the family that God has brought you into. Maybe it's just showing up. Maybe it is looking for a specific place to show up and to offer what you have to offer. Maybe you know what you have to offer. And maybe you just need to find what that place is to make what you have to offer accessible to other people. Y'all, we have a whole environment out in the gallery called What's Next that would do just that. It would take who you are and kind of what you have, where you would love to get plugged in, and they will help you find that place. Maybe it's just showing up in order to offer what you have to other people. Maybe you are already in a small group or a home group or a Thursday night group here, or you're on a volunteer team, or you've got a real community here at the church. And maybe for you, it looks like instead of coming to those times as like a weekly meeting or as a requirement or an obligation, you come to those times to be with your family, right? To love your family. How can I serve my family? How can I encourage my family? How can I pray for my family? What would it look like for us to show up for each other as family? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, I love this passage, this is where we're gonna end. It just gives us this challenge to consider how to spur each other on to love and good deeds. It tells us to consider, to think about it, to look out for ways that we could spur each other on to make each other better. And then it says, and don't neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, right? It calls some people out. It says, don't stop meeting together. You gotta meet together, you gotta be together, you spend time together to be the family in order that you might encourage each other, that you would encourage each other all the more as you see the day approaching. Guys, we are family. God has a purpose in us being family, and each and every one of you has a part to play in that. So what does it look like for you to show up in a way that you would encourage each other all the more as we see the day approaching? Let's pray together. Father God, Father, we thank you that you are our Father and that you came for us, that you made a way for us, that you bridged the gap of our sin, that you paid the price for our sin through your son Jesus. God, we just wanna let that truth just kind of wash over us today and this week and just be encouraged by it and maybe challenged by it and considering it afresh or maybe considering it for the first time. But God, we also recognize that as a part of your family, as people who've been invited in your family, we also belong to each other. We also have a responsibility to be a part of something and to be there and in it and showing up for each other. So I just pray, God, that you would show us what that looks like, that you would challenge our hearts, that you would encourage our hearts, and that you give us some places that we can show up for each other in some real powerful and encouraging ways. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And we pray all this in his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.